Well, cell phones on planes. You know, I'd rather my seatmate had a box cutter than a cell phone. I was just thinking to myself. Well, what do you know?
Live from Columbus, Ohio to Jacksonville, Florida, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, acclaimed author T.C. Boyle, all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's already got the oil in the steel drum in his garage simmering, it's Michael Feldman.
Just got to catch a turkey. That's the thing. You get it simmering, then you try to get a turkey to fly into it. That's the tough part. You got an idea about that? Or are you waving someone?
No, me.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You know Larry?
Yeah, with this class.
From Edgewood, the humor class from Edgewood is here. Searching for humor. Anyhow, cell phones on planes. If they allow cell phones on planes, it'll be like flying next to Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin on every flight. I was thinking to myself. Not just the inane conversations, it's the zombie farm, you know, and the Smurfs village and all those things. Okay, and never mind. Gamers with assault weapons take Xbox One by force. Samsung has to apologize for copying Apple, and yet Kia says not a word to Fisher-Price for all these years. 3,700-year-old wine found in Israel just peaking. 1697 B.C. was a very good year for Hebrew girls and Pharisee boys. Young Californians are flocking to Obamacare in case they never do pass the audition. The male Y chromosome has been furloughed. The NRA takes no position on the JFK incident. More teens pursuing gladiators after Hunger Games catching fire. Sometimes it seems like Jennifer Lawrence is the only good thing in my life. And you know, it's enough. I dated a Katniss one time. Just the once, though. Let's see, what else then? The Dylan video. Bob Dylan came out with a video. The Dylan video reveals that Like a Rolling Stone is really about The Price is Right. A little disappointed, to tell you the truth. Wisconsin Governor Walker's book tour for Profiles in Carnage continues. So while he's gone, who's dividing and conquering the state? Rifles, BB guns, and paint guns are allowed for deer season this year in Wisconsin. So if you got them, shoot them. China's knockoff stealth drone, good, but half hour later, you feel like another drone. There's a new hydrogen car, the Graf Hyundai. The Graf Hyundai. Hydrogen car. Pretty good, I think. Only a question, which burns brighter, the hydrogen Hyundai or the Tesla S? Doctors say Alzheimer's like having holes in your roof. Prescribe a bucket of tar and a push broom. Costco apologizes for labeling Bibles as fiction. Fiction or not, they're way cheaper by the case at Costco. That's where I get all my Bibles. Handful of nuts, good for you, just like Dad used to say, only in Yiddish. The nuked Senate should take 5,000 years half-life to be gridlocked again. Tea Party Republican Trey Radel of Florida says he thought it was baby laxative, which he has a prescription for. Oh, no. That'll teach George Zimmerman's girlfriend to wear a hoodie. Adam Levine, named Sexiest Levine. And I'll tell you, they're not a good-looking bunch, so it wasn't really even close. In football, or whatever the Packers are playing, The Tolzien Ponder matchup captures the public fancy. Thank you. Thank you, John. And for Thanksgiving this year, a lot of the guys are 3D printing their turducken. That's all the news. That isn't. They're turducken. Or is it a turducken? Anybody doing a turducken this year? Huh? Everyone ever do a turducken? No? Anyone know what a turducken is? Oh, everybody knows, but no one wants to try it. Anybody doing the vat of boiling oil in the garage? Huh. What's the matter with you people? Don't you ever want to do anything different? T.C. Boyle has a new book out. It's stories, too, and look at the heft of this book. These are just the second bunch of them. It's out right now, and he's on with the phone list from Santa Barbara, California. T.C. Boyle, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Tom?
Well, just fine, Michael. Good to hear your voice again.
And yours as well. It's pretty darn early out there, though, and I'm sorry to do this to you again.
It's my joy, but I keep waiting for the show to fly me and my entourage of retainers out so I can be on stage live with you.
Well, how many does that include, then, with the entourage and the retainers?
That's 36, including my mother-in-law and the dog.
Now, By the way, I'm really enjoying this. And I've read a lot of these before, actually. You know, I have a subscription to The New Yorker, so I've read many of them before. But this saves you, like, 20 years of New Yorker subscriptions. To get this book.
Well, after all, you know, in the era of e-books, the holidays are coming up, and people like to have an actual thing to give one another, and this is a massive tome of 915 pages.
Yeah. Are you ever intimidated by how much you've written? Are you personally?
The problem, Michael, is every time I have an idea for a story, I'm very excited for about 30 seconds, and I realize I've already written it, so I don't know.
But that's
will
never it be stopped
a third
you.
Volume?
That's never stopped you before, though. That's what I like about you.
No, you know, again, my mom and dad taught me to have a good work ethic, and I have a long commute from the bedroom through the bathroom into my office every day.
I know another story. Another story on a wild animal in the wrong place in an urban setting.
Oh, there are many of them. Yes.
Did you ever think about
them in here?
Did you ever think about that? Yeah, but I understand.
Yes, I have.
I understand you now. I understand you now because I read that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. Does that pretty much say it?
It says it all for me.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, that means that the individual is a representative of the entire race.
Okay. Can you give me illustrations and compare and contrast? Oh, this is not a final exam. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, back to the wild animals.
Yes.
You know me well over these years. I write about anything that catches my fancy in any mode. And so, for instance, a couple of years ago, there was a tiger attack at the San Francisco Zoo. And I did extensive research by going up and looking into the pit. And the pit was 12 and a half feet from the base to the top, and it's supposed to be 16 by industry standards. And when those three young fellows on Christmas Day a few years ago harassed the tiger was able to get out and get a little bit of revenge. And so I wondered, what does that mean? And so I wrote a story called Burning Bright, and it's one of the new ones in here.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not the only one with tigers in it, right? Is that one? Is that the one with the old lady in the yard, in the fence?
Oh, that's one that has a special delight for Wisconsinites. It takes place both in L.A. and in Wisconsin, where a few years ago there was a proposition to eliminate all house cats that are found out of doors as nuisance animals, just to shoot them.
That was for real,
pass.
Huh?
It didn't. No, this is for real.
At question 62.
The kitty lovers arose, you know, and of course they were backed by, I suppose, by the kitty litter manufacturers, too.
Yeah. And this is this peculiar thing in California where they have all these questions on the ballot that are somebody's bad idea, and people actually get to vote on bad ideas.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want to alienate the 97% of my audience who do have and love cats. I will say, though, that these are invasive animals that are doing a real job on our native birds.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
love your kitty, but keep him inside and make sure he has plenty of mashed fish heads to eat so he doesn't have to go out and kill all the birds outside.
Exactly. Well, I love that story with question 62. And then the character in there, one of the characters in there, wonders what question one might have been in California, the first question they put on the ballot.
Yes, well, she presumes it's wipe out the Indians.
Yeah, that was question one. Should we wipe out all the Indians?
Right, and by now we're up to question 62. Should we wipe out the kitties?
I've been working on my review of your tome here, and I got a very short one.
I hope it's... Go for it.
I think you'll like this. It's a tour de force, farce, and fress.
What is the fress part?
Fress is eating.
Oh, really?
Because your characters are fixing food or have these little dishes that, right in the middle of the action, they'll be fixing something, homemade duck sausage with fennel or something in the middle of some apocalypse.
Just like in real life. And by the way, I have to add to your review, fress, and how about frass?
Okay.
Have I got you? Have I stumped you on frass?
Frass, yeah.
Frass is the excrement of the little caterpillars that are denuding our trees. There's little pills. So add that in, too.
Not for the review, though. This is good. The three, don't you think? Force, farce, and fress. I thought it was pretty.
Yes.
Or Asiago and brown nut bread or whatever, those little sandwiches. Well, isn't it true, like, your characters tend to stop whatever the action is and fix themselves something a little upscale at any given moment?
You know, some of the stories, of course, are very funny, but others are straightforward, realistic, dramatic pieces. But in any case,
people got to eat.
In real life, we do tend to eat three times a day if we're very lucky. And so, yes, preparing food is a big part of it.
Yeah. And there's usually an apocalypse looming. That's another thing that's... Right? I mean, life is waiting for an apocalypse. Or not waiting for it, but it happens anyway.
Yeah, I mean, especially living here in California where we have, serial killers and we have floods and fires and earthquakes daily, it makes me a little nervous. And so, yes, I do tend to address apocalypse a lot in my stories.
Yeah. Do you have any conclusions about it after addressing it?
I think we're in deep trouble, all of us. And again, I hear your audience laughing. I wish I were there to see how beautiful they are and responsive. But I must say that I don't want to bum anybody out on a Saturday morning, but death comes for us all.
Yes. No, that doesn't bum anybody out. I do have one for the apocalypse, too, and part of this review that I'll never write, about the apocalypse of the quotidian. Do you like that?
I like that. I like that.
You can use it if you want.
Well, thanks. I think I'll part four of the book will come out next year, and I'll call it Apocalypse of the Quotidian.
Yeah.
In your honor.
Let me ask you this. Would you ever travel to Greater Stuyvesant or wherever for a $250 check and a plaque?
You're referring to the story of the Marlborough Manchester Musser Award, in which a writer, sort of a young fellow about my age, gets an award for $250 and goes to Greater Stuyvesant, which is north of Albany. Although I invented this town, so I guess I have to say that I was born and raised there, and I go there every day, but it doesn't really exist. No.
You've never done that? How much? What's the minimum for you to get you?
$251. $251, Michael. That'll do it. Actually, I have to say that normally when we talk, I've been on tour. I've been on tours almost continuously since September 7th. Finally, I'm home and looking forward to cleaning up after my wife, the poor woman. When I'm not home, there's no one to clean up after her. She is, by the way, asleep at this very moment.
Yeah. As well, she should be. Which kind of reminds me of the story of that musician who was found dead and decomposed in his house, which is grown over with trees and vegetation. That really struck me, that one. I don't know why, somehow I identified with that guy ending up that way.
This is a story called Sic Transit, as in Sic Transit Gloria Mundi, so go the glories of the world.
Yeah.
And, we're living in a nice neighborhood here in Santa Barbara, and big houses, all of that. And one house, you couldn't see it. It was just completely overgrown.
Oh.
And you could peek down the driveway, and there was an old American car listening to one side. And I said to my wife, I suppose some old person lives there. Soon they'll be dead. and they will remove everything. I was too optimistic. Yes, of course, they died. Bulldozers came in and took this person's life, whatever it was, photo albums, the automobile, everything, every blade of grass, every tree, everything, right down to the bare lot so you could have your ocean views. Mm-hmm. And now some new mansion is there. Yeah. This is the way of the world.
Yeah. Well, that was enough for you, the idea of that house overgrown, to put someone in there for your own purposes.
Yes. Yes. And the narrator is very curious, a guy not entirely like me, but, someone who happens to walk by once in a while. And he couldn't resist, after he heard of this tragedy, of going into the neighbor's house and seeing what was there.
Yeah. I love that story. I'm not sure why, but I do.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And then, there's a lot of bad dates in your stories. I've noticed that, But maybe no worse than those two people after the total apocalypse, like almost the two people left on Earth. They get together, and they don't get along at all.
After the plague. Isn't that the way it always is?
I imagine the way it will be, yes.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been on a date for about 70 or 80 years now since I first met my wife. And the best material that I could ever come up with is completely forbidden to me. And this material is her family and previous girlfriends. So, it's not always easy.
Yeah, not easy. But I love the part that there are two people left on Earth, basically, or it seems to be mm-hmm. that way. And she says...
Male and female.
Yeah, and she says to the guy, "You're no Howard."
Right.
because I feel that's
again, exactly... This is one of the older stories in the book, and it goes back to 98. I was meditating on the coming plague. I just read Laurie Garrett's wonderful book, The Coming Plague, in the late 90s, about how all the microbes are breeding up to take advantage of this food resource we're presenting them on our airplanes every day. And I just wondered, some people would obviously escape it. And in my case, this one guy is isolated in a cabin in the woods. And one of the people who survives was in one of these deprivation chambers, where you go inside and they lock you in for a given period of time. But, of course, once everybody dies, if electricity goes off, you don't know how long you're in there.
It's perfect. It was made for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, that's what I'm asking for the holidays for my wife, is a deprivation chamber in the basement.
My life already is a deprivation chamber. I need it. And then another great example of you seizing on something, just the winds on Shetland Island.
Oh, yes.
That must
this
have just...
This is a story called Swept Away.
Swept Away. That's
and
a great story.
I had read that, the Shetland Islands are the windiest place on Earth. And I wondered, what is that like? Well, cats blow off roofs and strike people in the back of the head. Pots fly down the street. Children go flying down the street. And so, of course, I made it into a love story. And incidentally, here's the power of fiction.
Yeah.
It appeared in The New Yorker, and I then heard from the editors of the Shetlander magazine in the Shetlands, wondering when I'd live there and for how long. And I had to confess up that I'd never been there, but I had once been to Oban off the Arctic coast of Scotland mm-hmm. and nearly froze to death on a fishing boat. So that was all I needed to write that story, which, by the way, the Shetlanders... reprinted in the Shetland magazine. I'm very proud of that.
I did. Is it true about the 500 pounds of coal people carry in their minivans for ballast?
It's true, actually. Everybody carries a weight in their cars to give them ballast in these high winds.
Now I'm wondering, I know we broached this before. Do you feel like you might care to read just a bit from one of these stories so we can actually...
I'd love to read you the first paragraph of My Pain is Worse Than Your Pain.
Great story. Please do.
I like my wife fine, and we had a pretty smooth run of it over the years, but there was a sort of, what do I want to say here? Expectedness to the days that sometimes bore down on me till I felt like a piece of furniture that hasn't been moved in a lifetime. An end table, maybe, made of maple, with some fine beveling that serves no other purpose than to collect dust. Which is why, and I'm not making excuses, just stating the facts, I pulled on my black jeans and turtleneck that night, dug my ski mask out of the closet, and climbed up the backside of Lily Barron's cabin to the patch of roof where the deck projects on the second floor, and peeped in the window, with no other intention but to see what she was doing at 11:45 at night, and maybe, if that was what she wanted, to surprise her, give her a little jolt, in the best possible sense, that is, by way of amiability and with the promise of mutual enjoyment.
That's a good paragraph.
Thank you, my dear fellow. I have to say, here is the way this story came to me. You know that I spend a lot of time up in the Sierras, in the Sequoia National Forest. I rent a little house in a very small community, 28 people.
Yeah, big
timber. Somebody walks by the door. I know their first, middle, and last name and everything they suffered in elementary school. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a new couple moved in, whom I never met, by the way, in case there are any lawyers in the audience. And this precisely happened. These were religious people who pontificated about Christ and so on. And meanwhile, after a drunken party, the male of this group went home and did precisely this, put on his black ski mask and climbed up and peeped in the window at one of the other people, women, who had been at the party.
Yeah.
And was unmasked, of course, unmasked and humiliated, tracked down by the locals. Everyone, by the way, the rule of the mountain is everyone must have 20 guns. So they all got their 20 guns out and unmasked this guy. And I just wondered, where do you go from there?
Yeah, yeah. And it's unexpected, of course. But life gives you gifts, doesn't it, all the time. It's amazing. So they gave you this big timber, this place called Big Timber, the place where everyone calls their house a cabin, no matter what it is.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. And ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, I guess, is what it goes to show you.
I suppose, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great story, by the way. I love it.
Well, thank you so much. You know, Michael, this will come as a surprise to you, but a lot of people, not, of course, in your audience, but a lot of people don't really have much of a sense of humor and don't often get what I'm doing here with these funny stories, because they are, you know, there's always this sort of the bleak punchline to this. My pain is worse than your pain.
Yeah. And life is a series of painful experiences.
Right. And of course, on a more serious note, it is impossible to relate to anybody else's pain. I met a guy recently whom I'd known in college. I hadn't seen him in many years. And we were sitting around with two other guys, and he said, you know, Jesus, this Percodan isn't doing anything for me. And by the way, he was drinking a Long Island iced tea at the time. And I said, well, what's wrong? And the other two guys just made these shushing noises, because if he were begin to tell us, we'd still be there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like
Easy for us to laugh because, you know,
it's not us.
We can still walk. That's right.
That's like all the wrecks that I've crawled out of, which is another one I totally relate to, although, you know, we've all crawled out of wrecks, and eventually we get one we don't crawl out of, you know, so that's sort of life.
Yes, thank you. All the wrecks I've crawled out of is a story about a close friend of mine who he butted his head up against the universe every day, as a young man especially, to just to find out just how hard his head was. And he was an abuser of drugs and alcohol and automobiles, and there were many wrecks in his life, both literal and figurative.
Yeah.
But he survived them.
Yeah. But I get the emotional ones were the tough ones.
I think so. I mean, that's what the story is about, actually. He winds up after one drunken escapade in which he flips his car and walks back the dark road to the house that he lived in with his girlfriend. But he was so drunk that he'd forgotten that they'd broken up 6 months ago, and no one was going to answer the door.
No, right.
I guess there's a lesson there. It's either
did your friend read
don't
the story?
Wreck your car, don't be drunk, or don't have a girlfriend, or all three.
Yeah, or any of those things. But I do, you know, and I like the fact that everything should be expected in life. I mean, all these things that happen to you, you should expect them, but you don't. You can't really believe they're going to happen.
One of the beauties of fiction, Michael, and in films that we see, is that we can have the vicarious thrill of imagining the worst. But as we say, I mean, in that moment, it is not happening to us.
Yeah.
But it's coming.
Yeah. So I mean, it's the going out with your fly rod and your pack, and ending up with a bear frolicking with your corpse.
Yes, that's story. Also in My Pain is Worse Than Your Pain. The heroine of the story, that's her late husband, broke his leg. That's right, the bear frolicked with his corpse.
Yeah.
But he did have the solace of a pint of bourbon. which he drank while he lay there in the woods fighting off the ravens, who are the first to come.
They
course.
Pecked his eyes out. Yes.
They pecked your eyes out, yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, what's unrealistic about that story is he did not finish the bourbon.
Yeah.
That seems unrealistic. Mm-hmm. So, just in general now, I wonder, stories are different from novels. All right, Tom, that's a brilliant statement. I took a course on time.
You may know that as a student in the Iron Writers Workshop, yeah. I exclusively wrote stories. I did that for 5.5 years. I got my PhD at Iowa also. And I had three teachers there, Vance Bergeli, John Irving, and John Cheever.
Yeah. Well,
Vance and John Irving only wrote novels. Cheever mainly was better at writing stories than novels. And also Ray Carver was in town at that time and became a friend of mine. And as we know, he only wrote stories. And I said at one point to John Irving, well, you know, I think I'm going to be like Ray and be content just to write stories. Mm. And he said, well, you may change your mind. And so when I finished the PhD, I did, and I wrote Water Music, this massive 500-page novel.
Yeah.
And I realized that it's all the same. They're all stories, whether they're 5 pages or 15 or 500. It's just a question of complexity of the plot.
Mm. But
so I don't really make that much distinction, except that I do write stories in a given period and novels in a given period and set out to do that purposefully.
Do you write them simultaneously?
No. Only one after the other. I just finished a novel before I went off on tour. It's called The Harder They Come, and it's about American violence. Where is it coming from? Why, for instance, does it seem that every schizophrenic in America must have automatic weapons?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to resolve that question. And now that I've finished that, I'm trying to think of some new stories again. Mm-hmm. Anybody has some ideas for me? I'm willing to take them, use them, and profit off them.
All right,
Can I tell you a quick anecdote about this, Michael?
Please.
So my book that is set in Battle Creek, Michigan, The Road to Wellville, about Dr. Kellogg, came about in this way. A friend who was a filmmaker who worked for Ted Turner for many years said, you will love this book. And it was the book, The Nuts Among the Berries by Ronald M. Deutsch, A History of the Health Food Movement. And he said, there are many cranks in here. It'll be right up your alley, but please don't write about Dr. Kellogg. I want to make a movie about him. And I said to my friend, Kevin, no problem. But as I began to get into this, I realized that Kellogg was my man. So finally I had to call Kevin and say, Kevin, so look, I'm sorry, bad news. I am going to write about Kellogg. But when the book comes out, you will get a fat. And he said, check. And I said, no, credit. And so he did.
I know, because you can't really patent ideas, can you?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right. But, of course, you can lose friends.
Yes. Did you hear from the Kellogg people versus the Post people?
Not really, but... No. When I first went to Battle Creek to do research, I poked around the library and some of the streets and the cemeteries and so on. The Kellogg Corporation would not even let me in the door, and I think wisely so, very wisely so. And I hadn't, I didn't know even what I was going to write about.
Yeah. That was an amazing book. I love that book. It's so American. You know, it's so much like American, like this competition for the perfect cornflake. Whatever, and this whole rage for cornflakes all of a sudden. It was so American, you know.
Well, what is wonderful, this is the turn of the last century, is that the health food movement continues today. We just have fancier names for it. For instance, Dr. Kellogg's enema machine, because he felt you must have a clean digestive tract. You can simply see the ads in the back of Harper's for the high colonic wash. I mean, it's the same thing. We all want to be healthy. We all want to live forever. You mentioned in your monologue the handful of nuts,
Yes, handful of
nuts. Now I'm damn sure to eat a handful of nuts every day, and I wonder if two handfuls would make me even healthier.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly. In Yiddish, it comes out a little different, but it's I understand what you're saying here. And and what a gift California! Coming to California was like the biggest gift of all, because this is a state that has every possible apocalyptic situation. And because mudslides are Tortilla Curtain, one of the earlier books is really based on this mudslide. Where actually one world slides into the adjacent world that they know nothing about, and it's an amazing book. But it's all
well. Thank you.
You know, it's what a gift California is.
It has been. Life takes us in ways and places we can't foresee. So, for instance, I was reflecting with my wife recently about this. I had never been west of the Hudson River before I went to Iowa, and I'd never been to California before I came to L.A. to teach at USC.
Yeah.
There were three places at which I could have gotten a job. USC got in there first. I came to California, and as a fish out of water, I've been able to look at it in a way that native Californians don't really. It's given me lots of material. Now, one of the places that I really wanted to go to was University of Minnesota at Minneapolis. And had I gone there, of course, I could have written the great books about the Swedish immigrants of the 1890s instead of the Mexican immigrants of the 1990s.
That's true. That's true. Or Fargo. You could have wrote Fargo.
I could have written Fargo. What a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And the Coen brothers are my heroes. They are wonderful. I look forward to their new one coming out soon.
Yeah. Can you keep those fresh eyes now that you're part of the problem out there in California?
I hope so. I hope so, because I'm not, you know, exclusively wedded to California. When we talked last, of course, it was over my book San Miguel, mm-hmm. about San Miguel Island.
Right.
And the one that preceded it, When the Killing's Done, is about Santa Cruz Island, right off the coast here of Santa Barbara. So, and of course, the new one I've just told you is set in Northern California, the one about violence. So I suppose I'm part of the problem, but I'm trying to work things out.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, like Kaczynski came here and he could look at the country in different, or you know, with eyes that weren't from here, so he could actually see what was going on. That was an advantage.
I guess then since I am so inured to California, I guess I'll just have to start writing about Wisconsin, for instance.
Wisconsin
or
does
my
appear.
Home turf of New York.
Yeah, Wisconsin does appear. I noticed Wanakee is involved in here.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
that's right.
That's a little known reference, although it's the only Wanakee in the world. It's right down the road down here. But it was nice
to see
that.
I have been many times to Madison, a town that I love. I did research there twice.
For the Wright
one,
book.
For the Frank Lloyd Wright book, yeah. The women. And it's, and for the McCormick book, the first book I wrote here, Riven Rock, about Stanley McCormick. The McCormick family papers are at that wonderful library in downtown Madison. It's a good place.
Yeah. And Wanakee is nearby, so that's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there, I think there's a reference to those two women who got off the bus and looked like they were from somewhere in Wisconsin. Looked like they were from Wisconsin, I think you said.
Well, that's, you
from
got
Oshkosh.
Me there.
Looked like they were from Oshkosh, that's what you said.
Yeah. Oh, that one, yes. Yeah. Well, that is Three Quarters of the Way to Hell, A Christmas Story. This is one in which I often wondered, you know, we're coming to that season now. You hear these same... I'm sorry, corny old Christmas songs recorded in the 50s, you know, by Frank Sinatra and so on. And I often wondered, you know, who were these people recording these songs and where were they really so pure? And so I imagined a singer down on his luck, a male and a female singer, going to the studio to record a Christmas side and what became of them. And, of course, I'm... From their perspective, yes, of course, we would use that terminology of the 50s, like they got off the bus from Oshkosh.
Your widely known phrase.
Yes.
And, Corey, that was the story that featured the second trumpet with Mitch Miller, I thought was a classic reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the joys of writing a story set in the 50s is to try, it's a third-person point of view. So it's from the point of view of the guy, the singer, and the female singer, and to be in their minds and to... use phrases and references that might be natural to them, but without imposing it on the story so much.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about Mitch Miller because my parents would watch his show on TV when I was a kid. And, of course, this was anathema to me. I would go directly upstairs and put the speakers on either side of my head and play Jimi Hendrix.
Well, it's intimidating. Because there's so much that's good here that this will never be duplicated again by anyone, I think. And this is just half of it. This is stories. There is a stories, right? And this is stories
this
2.
The T.C. Boyle stories came out in 1998. This is T.C. Boyle stories 2.
Yeah.
It's 1,600 pages of stories. They're something you can... I love stories by others, you know, not just by myself, to read through, because if you don't like one, you go to the other, or you read them casually, you read them before you go to bed.
Yeah.
There are a lot of them. I don't know, Michael, given the fact that I've revealed to the audience that death comes for us all, whether or not there will be a third volume. But I'm feeling good, and I hope so.
I did read one reviewer who put it in context of, well, he's 64 years old now. This is putting, like, his life in order. That's not what it's about, is it? I mean, you're still at the height of your powers, and that's a stupid way to approach anything, I think.
Well, I love you saying that, but I guess I'll have to ask my doctor about that.
Yeah. And there's probably a story in that, too, really, depending upon his reply.
Well, it is a kind of legacy. I've got all these stories. I want them to be there for whoever might want to be interested now or in the future. And I hope to continue writing them and be productive, because if you're not productive, then you're dead.
Yeah. The prolific is another thing, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a heavy responsibility, being so prolific? I would think so.
Yes, but as I said, you know, if you work 7 days a week at something, eventually it accumulates.
That's quotable. And I'm sure there'll be a Stories 3. T.C. Boyle, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks,
from Santa Barbara. Thanks, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. We got a kick out of him. All right. Let's get this back in my bag here. Okay. All right.
Careful, you get a hernia.
Yeah. Amazing. He is the most prolific. And it's not just the amount. They're so good, and they're so amusing, and they're so interesting and profound and scary and all this kind of stuff. So.
Ooh,
very good.
Scary.
Scary stuff. Yeah. So, how are you?
Good.
That's good. Got the holiday season here, and got the little excitement going on. Thanksgiving coming up, and
yeah. Well, I guess it's funny, exciting.
You going out there, your sisters, and for Thanksgiving?
No, don't go there anymore. Go to my in-laws.
Oh, in-laws.
Yeah.
Was that in Chicago then?
In Brookfield, yeah. Illinois.
Brookfield, Illinois, by the zoo.
By
there.
The zoo, right? Yeah, by next to the zoo, actually.
Yeah. Are you bringing something? You're not just gonna.
I don't know, maybe.
It's next week. You might think about this.
I know.
I
might try to bring something in.
Yeah. Jeff, you got a big family thing there going on?
We're going to Grandma and Grandpa Olson's house.
The Olsons? Grandma and Grandma Olson?
They live in Brookfield, too.
They're in Brookfield,
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two different
places. Almost ironic.
I know.
Yeah.
Isn't it, though?
Sounds good. The Olsons. All right, and this little tune here, is this holiday-inspired?
No.
No. It's good to get away from it, isn't it?
Well, everybody thinks of this tune as a very romantic tune, and it actually had a different origin, but I don't know if I should spill the beans on it or not. Maybe we'll just leave it as a romantic.
Spill the beans.
Well, it's called Under Paris Skies, and everybody always thinks that, oh, Paris, and, you know. But it was actually written for a movie about a mass murderer in France. So.
Okay.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
I had all your cards. Where did I put them? Okay. All right. That's not the one. Oh, here it is. Okay. Back pocket. You never look in the back pocket. Wasn't that a nice tune, by the way, that last tune?
Thank you.
Was that Tangerine?
Yeah. That's also known as Tangerine.
Tangerine. It was a vamp on Tangerine. I love that song. Now that Governor Walker has finished writing his book, How Will He Fill His Day? Very cute, Marianne. Okay. What position would Rob Ford play on a Wisconsin football team? I think he could be Bucky. But he'd have to do all the push-ups on the trampoline. No, that's the only thing. Sarah Will. What are you, Sarah Will? Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine, thanks.
How are things in New Hampshire?
Just really nice. A little warmer than here.
Is it warmer in New Hampshire than here? That's very depressing.
Just a little bit, a wee bit, yeah.
How do you occupy yourself up there in New Hampshire?
Let's see the truth. I'm a teacher. Yeah.
What do you teach?
I teach high school English.
You do? I used to teach that.
Yeah? You survived, or you got out really
well? Mine was high school English as a second language for Americans. That was my approach, anyway, and that seemed to work pretty badly.
We got some of those, too.
Nice to have you here.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Are you visiting friends? Who's
my mother. This is my mother and my sister.
How are you?
Very fine, and so happy to be here.
Yeah. Nice to have you.
Wonderful, and to hear John. We love him.
You love John?
Yes, very much.
How much do you love him?
A whole lot.
You. Love him a whole lot? Did you ever think about, showing it?
We already spoke.
I already told him that I liked him a lot. Yeah, that's enough.
It's enough for now, but it is a holiday season. And what's your name?
Mary Owsley.
Very nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you here. We sort of a time situation here, right?
We do have a time
situation,
yes.
We should launch right into the quiz if we're going to get it in, and we'll get back to you a little bit later, so everyone stay right where you are. I have your cards right here, close to my heart. Who has the four disclaimers? I know someone took. Yes, okay. I guess you stand up here. Before we can play the quiz, you have to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz, according to the legislation currently before the legislature. And you are?
David Woosencraft.
Okay, David, I'll give this to you, and I'll evaluate.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own show. Wait, do you stuff the duck into the chicken, or and then into the turkey, or the chicken into the duck? Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Good job. Take that with you. Have it certified and return it to me. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them, or at least one of them, at the quiz. That's right, this is time to play the What Do You Know quiz, and since we have one volunteer, let's take him. Why don't you come over here, and I'll meet you there. Yeah, boy, I'm back teaching school. I get no hands raised at all. How are you?
Hi, I'm Dave.
I didn't say who are you, I said how are you?
A little nervous.
Answer the questions.
Yeah, I've never been in the presence.
Are you pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good, yeah.
Stay fit. Are you staying fit? Looks like you're fit.
No.
Dave, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I've never played it before. It's my first time here.
Okay, if that's the best you can do, we'll have to accept that because no one else volunteered, Dave. I like that about you. You volunteer. You want to step right up here, Dave? Yeah. I have a seat right there next to the emu. Don't worry, it's not real.
It's exciting.
The emu is excited, too. Do you love John?
Do I what?
Do you love John?
Do I love John?
Our piano player?
I love the way he plays. Yes. That'll have to be enough.
Do you play at all, Dave?
I took lessons for a couple of months, actually.
In what?
In piano.
Well, you did. And yeah. You gave it up after 2 months? Too much progress? Did you make too much progress?
It was all the practicing.
Yeah. Okay. Did you play anything now, or did you pick up anything
else? No, I was just...
Fall back on.
Yeah. I'd been cast in one of the musicals here in town.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to sing, and I don't know anything about music.
Oh.
And I thought, after the fact, it might be a good idea to be able to read music.
Give us a few bars of what you sang in that musical.
Oh, Masters in the Hall... It was the Christmas Carol at the Overture.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're not singing?
I make artificial limbs.
You do?
Yeah.
Prosthetics?
I'm a certified prosthetist.
Yeah. Well, isn't that cool? Yeah. Interesting.
How'd you're missing it? I make it.
How'd you get in? Is that on your letterhead? Or what?
Yeah. That's I'm going to need a kiosk at the mall. Legs in about an hour.
Uh, Finish your shopping, and we'll be ready.
Just in time for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, just in time. A leg, just in time. A leg up on Christmas. How about that? How'd you get into that racket?
The short story is I'm left-handed, so.
Yeah.
And I started standing out wooden legs when I was a junior in high school, actually.
Yeah.
40 years ago, yeah.
Okay, I guess that answers that question.
Yeah, so, well, actually, I delivered a pizza to a whorehouse in Chicago, and
we can go on to something.
Yeah, anyway, so it's a long story. Yeah, that's another story.
I'm going to call T.C. Boyle back and give him your whole story, okay. And I think expect a big fat credit.
Yeah,
I'll check. Well, that's interesting. Okay, and for kicks, what do you like to do, Dave?
What do I
outdoorsman,
like?
Sportsman,
yeah, I like travel, you know, read, and
where's the most exotic locale you've traveled to?
Well, I'm actually going to the Galapagos Islands in a week.
Big, yeah, turtles and all that.
Yeah, see the turtles and
yeah.
Lonesome George. He's the famous turtle, I guess.
Is he still there? I thought he.
I don't know. I'll find out.
I think one of them passed away, and I think one of them they thought he died, but he didn't. He doesn't move much. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, that sounds great. That sounds terrific. Dave, someone out there plays along with you, and how does that work then?
People who want to play along, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay, the suspicious silver object seized by the Oklahoma City bomb squad was in fact a what? Probably saw this in the news. It was harmless. Okay. The suspicious silver object seized by Oklahoma City bomb squad was, in fact, a what? Let's go to the phones right now. Oh, we lost someone there on that question. He went away. Betsy, are you there?
Yes, Michael.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I should probably let you go, though, because I don't think I know the answer to this.
Okay. All right. Nice talking to you, though.
But thanks.
Okay, bye. Joe's in Rochester. Joe, did you read about this?
Hey there. Yes, I do. I know the answer.
What's the answer, Joe?
The answer was a burrito.
A burrito. They seized and defused a burrito. All right, Joe. How you doing there in Rochester, Joe? You got a day off today?
I am doing great. Yeah. I do have a day off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how are you spending it?
Raking leaves.
Well, isn't that exciting? Why don't you get a blower? All my neighbors have blowers.
I have one. I have one, but I have a lot of leaves, so it takes a long time.
Get two blowers. Yep. Yeah, double-fisted blower out there.
Yeah, you blow them into a pile, and then you rake them up and put them in a bag.
Yeah. It takes a lot longer with a blower, actually, because they, you know, blow all over the place. And they're noisy.
True.
Now, the guys who have blowers have the earphones, and they should hand them out to the neighbors is what I think. You know, fine. I'm going to blow my leaves. Here, wear these.
That's right.
Joe, this is Dave.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Dave.
Dave, Joe. You guys are a team right now. You feel good about that?
Yeah, I do.
I feel great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you bonded pretty much quickly. Two of you are a team. We have various categories, don't we, Bitsy?
Yes, the categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Joe, what do you have?
Let's try current events.
Current events, right out of the news. What was the final last movie rented from Blockbuster and not returned?
Oh, jeez.
Name of it.
Jeez.
The appropriate name of it.
Dave?
I think I got the bill for the overdue notice.
Disregard it. Final movie rented from...
If I remember, it was that movie with Seth Rogen and James Franco.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the end of the world movie.
Yeah, this is
the end.
That's
the end.
It.
Oh my!
Joe.
What a partner! Thank you.
Way to be, Joe. Yeah, this is the end. Appropriately enough, last one. Okay, very good. That would be
one right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Dave? People's places and things I should have learned in school.
Those are all different categories. Oh,
people, comma, places, comma.
All right, things I should have learned in school.
Okay.
Like, follow the rules.
Okay. If it's protein you're after, do you want one serving of beef or one serving of caterpillar?
Oh, I'd say caterpillar.
Caterpillar, you'd say. Joe, what about you?
You're probably right. I mean, I think most people would say beef, but it's probably caterpillar.
Caterpillar is right, yes. Have two, and you got your way ahead. Okay.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there?
People, comma, places, comma, science, comma, odds and ends, period.
Joe, comma?
Let's do odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay. Country, pop, or classical music makes solar cells produce more electricity? I don't know. I've read this number. By playing in the background while your solar cell is producing electricity from the sun, should you play country, pop, or classical music to get more electricity?
I'm afraid I'd guess country, but...
I'm afraid you would. Yeah. Joe, weigh in on this. Talk it over, you guys. Come on.
Well, you know what? I went to school for physics.
You did?
I did. And so I'm just kind of thinking to myself...
Yeah.
The solar cells probably need more energy. And so the energy is probably going to come from the vibrations of the music.
Okay.
Right, Dave?
So yeah, I would just...
I like the way you think.
I'm thinking pop music, right?
I like the way you think, Joe. I really do. I wish I thought more like you.
You need... Energy just converts, so the more energy you put in, the more energy you're going to get out.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you're not thinking country anymore?
No, not anymore. No.
Pop? Nope. Pop is right. Exactly right. Oh, boy. Joe. That schooling wasn't wasted.
So, Michael, this is fantastic. It's been my dream to finally get on the show. I've called in for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah,
so.
And look, you won here, but there's something even better out there, isn't there?
There is. They could risk it all and go for the mother load by getting one more question right.
So it's all or nothing, though.
It is all or nothing, correct.
All or nothing. Do you want to go on for the mother load?
Oh, definitely. I mean,
Dave, we got to do it.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
Yeah.
They're going on. Let's encourage them. Because that's what we do here. Okay.
So the categories remaining are people, comma, places, comma, or science. And now I won't say comma anymore.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know. You're the physics major. I guess what about science?
Sure. We can try it.
Science. Okay. The prehistoric ocean. That's the one before there was history. I guess. When did history start? I don't understand the way they call it prehistoric. Anyhow, the prehistoric ocean, was it saltier, less salty, or salt-free? The prehistoric ocean.
Prehistoric.
The ocean out there before history started.
Well, I guess, that if we had no ice caps, then it would be less salty.
Yeah. Because no one would be putting salt on the ice, really, and have it all wash into the...
Yeah, so if all the free water was melted, I would guess it would be less
salty. Come on, Joe. Help him out here, Joe. Saltier?
Oh boy.
Or the others?
What
are you thinking? Saltier?
Biology.
Or one of the others?
The dinosaurs, there was more oxygen.
Are you thinking saltier?
It was warmer. The Earth was warmer. I would guess it's less salty.
Or less saltier. Saltier.
I'm going to say.
But the dinosaurs peed in water, too. So.
He's saying saltier.
I'm saying saltier.
I'm saying less salty. I guess we'll have to arm
saltier?
Ourselves. All right. Okay. All right. I'll acquiesce to the audience. Okay.
He's been right. So he took physics at Rochester. Then.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, saltier. Yeah. Oh, wow. A lot saltier. Twice as salty. It could float in it.
Dave, you've won your way to nutrition with Funky Monkey Snacks, freeze-dried raw fruit with no added sugars, colors, flavors, or preservatives from Funky Monkey, fruit that crunches. Then travel to the frontiers of science and the potentials of synthetic biology with J. Craig Venter's Life at the Speed of Light, from the double helix to the dawn of the digital age from Viking. Feel good about the future with Clive Thompson's Smarter Than You Think, How Technology is Changing Our Minds for the Better, from Penguin Press. And go beyond yourself in Anthony M. Townsend's Smart Cities, Big Data, Civic Hackers, and the Quest for a New Utopia from W.W. Norton Company, and you get my leftover cheese bread from the farmer's market. Joe, make every day a What Do You Know Day with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee, and wind down with a cup of smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And then celebrate a rich tradition of culture under the tent wearing a tie-dye long-sleeve t-shirt from Bayfield's big-topped Chautauqua. Treat the family to the wonders of the Mesa Southwest Museum with a family pass from the Arizona Museum of Natural History. Unfortunately, neither plane fare nor gas money included. There is one more gift. However, we are out of of time. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Yeah, Michael Feldman is our producer international.
Thanks,
this is PRI, Public Radio International.
Good job, Joe.
Okay, thank you.
Putting you on hold there. Nice work.
All right,
bye. Using my hands more, I think.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who'll be going with the wild turkey this year, if you know what he means, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, each week at this time, we honor a memo.
We honor a memo.
Because we feel so good about memos and receiving them. How many of you received a memo recently? Applaud if you've received, yes, because very good. How many of you not received a memo recently? How many of you written a memo recently? Oh, you're part of the problem then, aren't you? Okay. Well, here's one. That we received went to all staff with the subject line handicap toilet. Good afternoon, folks. It's a folksy memo. Some of them start folksy. Good afternoon, folks. I have a request from M regarding the problem that we seem to be having with the handicap toilet, namely that it is frequently stopped up. Maintenance has evaluated the toilet, because that's what maintenance does, it evaluates toilets. And it seems to be functioning as it was designed to function, so the problem appears to be twofold. First fold, some person or persons is using an inordinate amount of toilet paper. And we know who they are, right? This is pretty obvious in any office who that would be. Please help out and use a normal amount of paper. I don't know a really delicate way to say this, so I'll just come right out and suggest you might want to flush twice. Okay, well put. Second, if you are the person who stops it up, please let someone know ASAP. You're going to rush out, you know, clutching your pants. No one else wants to stumble upon this. And we need to get the situation addressed quickly. Ideally, we would use the main bathrooms that are designed to handle a larger amount of paper, and if they should overflow, are much easier to clean. The way the handicap toilet is positioned, an overflow there will inconvenience many tenants below us. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate your consideration. Thank you for that memo on proper use of the handicap toilet. It does not address the question of why they are using the handicap toilet, which is a bigger question and left unanswered in this memo. But if you have that memo, send that. And I'm sure it followed this memo as well. Where can they send memos and such?
People can send memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Okay, we have a Town of the Week coming up. But first, it's an annual tradition around here, the Thanksgiving prayer. You ready for the Thanksgiving prayer?
Music? I am indeed.
Okay.
Look forward to it every single year.
This is called Dessert Errata. Or a prayer of thanksgiving. It goes something like this. Go resignedly to the folks, remembering it's just for a few hours. Though you must make appearances at her side as well as your own, eat with as much relish as you can muster, for this too shall pass. Choose carefully your words, gingerly stepping around your cousin Leah's latest fiasco with the Arthur Murray instructor, and ask not about Marlene. Let on not that you have heard these stories before. I don't hear any music.
I didn't know you wanted any.
Well, I said, are you ready for
it? Oh, okay. I thought, I don't know. Didn't. Yeah.
It's a lot better with music. Let on not that you have heard these stories before and utter them not aloud simultaneously, nor anticipate the punchlines. Chew with vigor and bite thy tongue, for the bird hath been cooked since Tuesday. Yet praise it tenderly, for it never heard a compliment in life. Be sage about the dressing, though you know not the origin of the little hard things. Should you bite into a wedding band, return it with discretion. Though it resembles syrup, pour not the Manischewitz on the sherbet. Avoid your Uncle Lou. He is vexatious to the spirit. Kick not your little brother under the table, but show the forbearance of the season and pound him later. Picture Naomi and the kids as alien life forms and learn from them. Shout not at Graham, for she heareth what she chooseth. Though you take on much wine, sing not the Barber of Seville, nor show undue attention to your niece, who has become quite the young lady. If belch thou must, let it not herald the start of a contest. Mince no words over the pie, which passeth all understanding. Above all, say nothing on the ride home, even though the temptation to cite what might have happened but didn't be great. For that, give silent thanks, resolving to firm up those plans for Aruba over Christmas. Amen. Another year, another prayer of thanksgiving. Here's some local holiday-related items here. Actually, good. From Racine. Thank you. Thank you for finally catching up with me, Anna. Racine man accused of drunken turkey theft from Walmart. You probably saw that one. For some reason, they're both Racine here, and I don't mean to portray Racine as some hellhole, which it is not. It's a very nice place, actually, and so near Kenosha, it's convenient. A Racine man faces misdemeanor theft and felony bail jumping charges after police picked him up on allegations of stealing frozen turkeys from a Walmart Wednesday. The Racine Journal-Times reported employees at Walmart Neighborhood Market on Washington Avenue were watching the gentleman after observing him drunkenly munching on loose nuts at a counter. He left the store with two birds in hand, the article said. Outside, he tripped and fell, dropping both frozen Jenny O turkeys. When police approached him, he hid the birds behind a van and told police with slurred speech his wife had bought them. A little seasonal, sorry. And this also is not exactly seasonal, but overwatering plant gets Racine man punched in face. Could be in any season, really. A Racine man got punched in the face after overwatering a plant where his house guest was supposed to sleep, the Racine Journal-Times reported. The gentleman of Racine faces misdemeanor battery charges after the incident Monday. He was staying at the victim's home and allegedly became angry, punching him twice in the face after the victim watered a plant above where he was planning to sleep. That's all we know right now. More at 10. Okay. So anyhow, you know, we have a town of the week. Should we do it?
I think we should do it.
Are you ready to go? You know, each week, or usually not, every once in a while, we honor a town, village, or burg somewhere on our map, rearranged, of the same. Here with the town of the week, Bitsy.
Our town of the week was originally known as Defiance. It was established in the western mountains of Colorado in 1883.
Defiance.
Yep, where the Colorado River and the Roaring Forks River meet. In those days, you would have found a tent camp with saloons populated by gamblers, gunslingers, and prostitutes. But when the town founder's wife, Sarah...
Where do you find them now?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah,
when we get somebody on the phone, we can ask.
Okay.
But when the town founder's wife, Sarah, was having a hard time adjusting to frontier life, the town's name was changed to Glenwood Springs after her hometown of Glenwood, Iowa.
Oh.
Wild West legend Doc Holliday spent the final months of his life in Glenwood Springs and is buried in the Pioneer Cemetery above Bennett Avenue. Ted Bundy was jailed in Glenwood Springs until he escaped one December night in 1977. These days, I'm not actually sure whether he was found and put back in jail somewhere. It wasn't exactly clear. These days, about 8,000 people live there. It's an outdoor living kind of town with hills, forests, caves, and canyons all around. There are hot springs, too, and, get this, vapor caves, where you can sweat out all your toxins in underground steam baths. Rand McNally and USA Today named Glenwood Springs the most fun town in America.
Wow.
If you're visiting, outdoor activities are probably the way to go. You can bike, swim, raft, ski, fish, and spelunk in the area.
Spelunk?
Spelunk, yeah.
What is that again? I know I've done it.
Caving.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've done it?
No.
Okay. If you insist
I've spelunked, but I didn't know it was caving at the time.
If you insist on catching some sports, there are the Glenwood Springs High School Demons to watch, and that's our Down of the Week, Glenwood Springs, Colorado.
They should have kept the Defiance, don't you think?
I like it. Defiance is I'm nice. Pro-Defiance.
Yeah, I like Defiance, too.
Yeah.
Glenwood Springs.
Yeah.
But Defiance. Maybe they'll go back to it.
Maybe.
It'll be more of a tourist attraction. If you're, I'm going to Defiance.
Yeah, we should start a petition.
Yes, we, why don't you do that? Have you started a petition? I've never started a petition.
I keep meaning to. Let's do it.
But I've never actually started a petition. So we're calling randomly now, or Lyle is, and he looks rather puzzled. And we sort of caught him by surprise, I think. You okay, Lyle? How's the old ticker, okay? I don't want to shock you too much with having to make a call out here. Looking for someone in Glenwood Springs. Don't look for Defiance because it's not Defiance anymore.
Has anybody ever been there?
Anyone been to?
Oh, look, we have people.
What did you discover when you went to Defiance? Yes.
Oh, I used to go there when I was a real little girl.
You went when you were a little girl. You went there, and now you're all grown up. And
I'm from Colorado. So
you're from Colorado. And what did you do when you were in Defiance? Glenwood Springs.
I collected rocks and I tried to sell them on the street corner.
Oh, wow.
Collected rocks and sold.
Tried to sell them on the street corner.
Well, we're waiting for the phone to ring. Why don't we let me get out to her and find out a little more about these rocks.
I want to know if anybody ever went to those underground steam caverns.
I had my microphone back there.
It sounds very exciting.
It's a power grab. All right, we're looking here at Glenwood Springs, right? Aren't we? Colorado, and you lived there. You lived in Colorado, and what did you? You collected rocks there.
Well, when I was a child, my childhood friend and I would always collect these just beautiful rocks off the mountain, and then we would try to sell them like you would, you know.
Agates? Were they agates or something?
Well, probably gold. Yeah.
Do you wish you would have hold on to those as a hedge against inflation?
Oh, exactly. You know, gold or silver. So it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Mostly rock hounding then?
Yeah. I did. I never spelunked.
You never spelunked either?
No.
Maybe the two of us could spelunk something. Okay. With your permission. three of us could spelunk. If that's legal, I have no idea if that's even legal.
It's legal in Glenwood Springs.
Did you ever do the vapor thing?
No, I never went down into the caves, but I've definitely been into the vapor pool, the hot tub, the vapor, hot pool. Yeah.
And how did you find that?
Very stinky. Kind of smell like
sulfur. Because of all the
toxins.
Helpful toxins that were helpful.
Very sulfur smelling.
Yeah, what do you call a helpful toxin? I don't know. Probably not a toxin.
But it is beautiful.
Yeah. And your name is?
I'm Carol.
Thank you, Carol, very much. Okay, who else here? We've had other Glenwood Springs. I saw other hands here. Is it just lucky that, because we're not finding anyone on the phone yet, I guess. Lyle, did you find anyone yet?
No,
Lyle's still puzzled here. So this works out perfectly for us. Hi, have you been there?
Yeah, I went like twice when I was a little girl, too.
And what'd you do there?
Went swimming in the big hot springs pool.
Yeah.
And I just remember that I hated the smell. That's all I remember.
It was stinky, kind of like sulfurous?
Yeah, it was gross.
Yeah, and a lot of old men there with hairy chests.
Probably, I don't really
hairy chests, smoking cigars while sitting in a...
Yeah, probably.
Well, that was a Jewish center. I'm sorry. I don't know why I confused the two. Your name is?
Maddie.
Nothing fun there that you recall from?
No, not really. Yeah. Swimming. They had a big slide. That's all I really remember. Oh,
okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I know we had someone else here, too. Come on. I saw another hand. Another hand. Okay. This gentleman over here seems to have the time of his life in Glenwood Springs. Is Glenwood Springs? Is that right?
That's right.
Or Greenbird.
Lyle's still on the phone.
Where is he? Lyle's still on the phone, yes. Pardon me, I got this. Pardon me. That's all right. Don't forget. I'll have to stand up. Thank you for kind of you, though. It is a little tight in here. All right, pretty good then. Okay. Don't shy away from me. I'm not dangerous. That's you, right, sir? I guess you stand up here because it's a little easier for me. And that's what it's all about. Hi, and you're
Bill.
Bill, were you there?
I was there probably 35 years ago.
What do you remember from Glenwood?
Two things. I remember being in the big hot tub swim pool sulfuric acid bath.
It was sulfuric acid?
Sounds awesome.
How long did you last?
That was what we were saying to each other. And then the second thing I remember is I bought a 10-gallon hat there, which I still have. But I'm not.
You still have a few gallons of it?
Yeah, I am. Near the end.
Yeah. And were you there with your friends, your parents, or family?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People I went to school with, and we were goofing around.
Did you ever think about going back? Was it a good experience?
I'd go back if I was nearby.
Because you'd be there already, so you wouldn't have to go. Do we have someone on the phone now? Well, this is very exciting. This has become an epic. It started out merely as a town of the week, but it's an epic of the week. And, you know, that doesn't really help that much if you just do that. You know, but I appreciate the effort, but it was mostly for show. Anyway, so let's, okay.
Maybe they can answer the Ted Bundy question.
I'm sorry?
Maybe they can answer the Ted Bundy question.
We're going to leave Ted Bundy out.
Oh, okay.
That's my opinion. Because it's not good for the Chamber of Commerce here as well. They talked about Ted Bundy. But we got Meredith out here, and she's from there. And hi, Meredith.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hi. This is Michael Feldman. I'm host of a show that I like to call Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? And our town of the week now is Glenwood Springs, Colorado.
That's what I heard.
And that's where you are, correct?
Yep.
And are you with the Spa of the Rockies then?
I am.
Can you tell us about that?
The Spa of the Rockies is located in the Hot Springs Pool building. The Hot Springs were founded in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
They were originally found by the Ute Indians. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, they began to harness the water back in the 1800s, mm-hmm. and built this spa up here just about 4 years ago as like a health spa.
Oh.
But the pools have been a tourist destination since the late 1800s.
Have they controlled the odor?
Not really, actually. Flows people, pretty freely.
People talk about that.
Yeah.
And does it have healing properties? What's it good for?
There are a number of minerals that are in the water that people mm-hmm. have found for skin health, as well as the heat and everything for muscles and relaxation. And
muscle relaxation.
That's really what we tout here at the hot springs.
So why take a pill?
Right.
You know, for muscle relaxation, you can jump in the pool of sulfuric acid, and it's also good for your skin because it
Absolutely.
Removes a layer or two.
Right.
But it's not sulfuric acid, of course.
No.
And the spa of itself, does it have other elements besides the pools?
Well, the spa itself is like a health spa, so we offer massage and body treatments and the whole works here.
So mud packs and that sort of thing, or what are they roll people in weeds?
Yes, there are some weeds involved, more muds, and then also, like, we use a lot of mineral oils and gels.
Minerals and gels. And is there anything else in the health package? What do you get with the package?
We have all kinds of packages.
Yeah.
Some are massage, and then
is there a romantic sort of getaway package?
We have...
What comes with that?
A lot of times they start with a mineral bath, mm-hmm. and then...
Where does it end is what I want to know.
Where's what? Where's it end?
Where's it end, yeah.
It ends with you feeling amazing.
Okay. But is she... And how is she feeling about the whole thing? Whoever she may be.
Right.
Okay.
Hopefully you know her.
So it's like a... Do you ever really know anyone? Come on. So it's like 2 days and three nights, and there's a pool, and you get wraps and stuff, and then is there a chute? You go down a cataract or something? Or
That costs extra.
That's extra? It's worth
right.
it? Put me down for the whole thing, then. And then there's a dinner package, I suppose, and is there a little boat tour or anything like that?
You know, the one thing we don't really have on property is a place to have dinner, but Glenwood Springs itself has a number of amazing restaurants.
Okay.
We do offer breakfast and lunch, but the restaurant is closed for dinner.
Yeah. Okay. And are you busy right now? A lot of people? Is it full up?
We are actually very busy today, this weekend in particular.
Yeah. Is there a convention in town or something like that?
I don't think so. I think everyone's just ready for a getaway. Now that it's starting to snow, it looks pretty beautiful around here.
Yeah. And is there skiing? Skiing? Not skiing. That's something else.
The mountains open on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. They do have a couple, like Snowmass and Aspen, have opened the past 2 weekends just for the weekend. And then everybody opens on Thursday for the rest of the season.
So this is perfect to go out there for the holiday. It would be ideal.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can you still get in? I mean, like on Thursday, if you want to hit it right on Thursday, is it going to be hard to get in?
To the spa or?
Yeah, to the spa and then, of course, the skiing.
Well, we're actually closed for Thanksgiving.
Oh, of course. That's too bad.
But everything else is open. You could go skiing.
Okay, but we have to wait till Friday
to
get
into
the spa.
Right.
Spa. Ski on Thursday, come on Friday, the spa. We'll need it by then. That sounds almost perfect. Are you from around there originally, Meredith? Is this your home?
I'm not.
No, not a local.
Well, I've lived here for about 6 years now.
Mm-hmm. And how do you find it living out there? Is it a paradise on earth, as we're led to believe?
Well, you know, I used to live in Aspen for the first 5 years, yeah. And that is a very surreal place.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's beautiful and thin, and you're like, I'm not on earth anymore. Where am I?
I've been there. I didn't stay long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
It's one of those places you go and you feel bad about yourself. So I felt terrible, ugly, and I wasn't old at that time. I felt ugly and young, you know, at that time.
That sounds tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely beautiful, though.
It is. And I'm sure the same is true of when you come to Glenwood Springs.
Yeah, Glenwood has a really interesting history, and then the town is just, it's a neat little town, and then you only half an hour to skiing, and there's a river that runs through it, kind of like the movie, and, you know, you can get out on your raft in the summer and go hiking, and so.
Yeah.
Is there great place to play.
Is there a good singles scene there around Glenwood for those people who still are around Glenwood Springs? So you could.
Yeah, I mean, if you love to do things outdoors, you never have to go alone. That's for sure.
Okay, is that just your philosophy, or is it a fact?
I'd say it's kind of a fact. I mean, everybody who lives around here that's young is typically very outdoors minded.
Yeah.
So you can always find friends.
Well, it sounds fabulous. Meredith, I want to thank you for taking... I know you're probably busy right there, but thank you for taking the time and for the Spa of the Rockies to let you do that. We have a little something for you.
We do. We'll be sending you America's Dairyland Treasure with a delectable selection of cheeses made without artificial growth hormones or genetically modified ingredients from Cedar Grove Cheese, Southern Wisconsin's cheesemaker since 1878.
Wow, thank you.
Thanks, Meredith.
Thank you.
And it's our town of the week, Glenwood Springs. I put you on hold there so we can get an address from you. Thanks, Meredith, very much.
I think we need somebody to throw the dart, Michael.
Huh?
I think we might need somebody to throw the dart for the next round. For the next round.
Why?
We're not going to go back to Glenwood Springs every week.
What?
We're not going to go back to Glenwood Springs every week. We need somebody to throw the
dart. What, Bitsy? I can't hear you. I got these headphones on here.
We need somebody to
throw... That's your nickname, Bitsy. I just found out today, and I can't use it enough.
It's true.
Such a cute name. It's because your grandfather...
Just say it like you're very happy.
Your grandfather was a big guy.
Yes.
And you were therefore Bitsy.
Yes, correct.
As an itsy.
Yes.
You could have been itsy instead of Bitsy. Yeah, did you ever think of that?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Well, why don't you handle this? Take this.
Okay.
And take the...
Well, I'm not going to throw it.
No, take the dart and find some there. This is how we pick our town of the week, which we do at least twice a year now.
So who would like to throw the dart?
You might take the dart with you.
She's 60 years old today. You should come and throw the dart, but you have to come down to the...
Before it's too late, yes.
I would just like to point out that Michael's head is about 3 feet from the dartboard, so we may need to be careful.
It won't be by the time she gets up here.
And tell me your name.
Kate.
And you're from?
Madison.
Happy birthday.
You had to think about it, though, huh?
These people here who volunteered me are from Milwaukee and Madison. They're my family.
Great. Well, come on up.
Okay. Then you know them all. Have you thrown a dart before?
Yes.
You have thrown a dart before? Okay. All right, then it should be no problem. You should give her the dart, I think.
Yes,
that would be a way to do it. Or she can stand just up there and pound it with her.
All right. Okay. Don't turn around.
Stand back a little more.
Don't make point it at Michael.
Bitsy's right over there on your right. Close your eyes, let her rip. Okay. Oh!
Yes! First go.
What did we get?
It's in Mexico. I think we may have to go again. Okay.
Mexico's nice. Come on.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
It's White River, South Dakota. Okay. Thank you.
White River, South Dakota. Thank you very much. And that'll be our Town of the Week sometime early next year. Very excited. Okay. Hey, you okay?
Got to wait for Jeff to finish his comedy routine.
Oh, yeah, Jeff. I know he was going to do some jokes. I've been waiting for that. No, that's music. That's sheet music.
That's pretty funny, too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, she's back now with her friends. What a moment. This is going to be a memory.
What was that, Whitefish, River?
White River, South Dakota.
White River.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's beautiful.
And so this tune here now is, tell us about it.
I really don't.
Spill the beans on this one now.
I really don't know that much about it.
Yeah.
In fact, I know nothing about it.
Okay. Do you know the title of it?
It's called, it's by Duke Ellington. I do know that.
Oh, fantastic.
About it. And it's called Love You Madly.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess what everyone is asking about is what is Jeff actually singing when he's playing his solos there? Because we notice you're going boop-boop-bop, beep-beep-bop. Is that pretty much boop-boop-bop?
Yeah, I'm trying to sing what I'm playing, ideally. I'm not thinking that hard about it. I'm just, yeah.
Can you do a little bit? Because I want to mic you. And so actually, because we don't have a mic on you. Yeah, just play a little something here. And I'll mic you while you're... Can't you do it without chords? We need chords.
This is shaky enough already. Yeah.
Hey, give me the whole boop-boop-bop.
Am I doing it?
Yeah, give me some skin, man. Give me some skin. No, give me some skin. Oh, it's sweaty. Ba-boo-ba-bee-bop, ba-boo-bop. I guess you could just do B things. B phonemes. Is it a phoneme? It begins with a B. Good, though. It's cool, man. We're going to mic you from now on. How can I improve my radio reception in my deer stand so I don't miss your show? Sarah Will, are people? Yeah, it's you again. Here, stand up here, because this is Sarah Will. You didn't see her last time. I didn't make her stand up.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Will. Whoa.
My sister wrote that on my behalf.
Oh, do you have a deer stand?
No, I don't. Okay. I just see him outside my door all the time, so I feel like I live
in your house is your deer stand.
Yeah, really.
Can you shoot from your house?
No, I wouldn't. I don't have a gun, but if...
I mean, if you had a gun, if a person had a gun and they were in your house, could they shoot?
They could, easily, yeah. Yeah, Bambi would go, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't shoot Bambi, necessarily. I never shot anything before. I'd like to start.
You would, really?
I think so. I think I'm ready to tear it up.
Go after some elk?
Maybe I use explosives or something so I can't miss.
Cyanide.
But I won't use the meat, I'll tell you that. That's one thing you can say about me. Never use the meat.
You're a compassionate guy.
I'm a compassionate guy. I'm not going to do it, but that's okay. Okay. Well, so it's not true that I can't. Do you have a deer stand?
No, I don't, but a lot of my friends do, and if I were on the radio, I would want them to hear me. So how do they get better reception in their deer stand? Because it's all about me.
I don't know how to answer any of that. But thank you for bringing it up. I think we get very few people listening in deer stands is what I'm thinking. You know, and once again, I would like to say, I noticed that there are a lot of deer stands adjacent to I-94. So, gentlemen, shoot that way. That's all I can say. That's worrisome to me. They hit them just before they leap through your car window. That's a good time to get a deer. What type of phone is that at your desk? Oh, that's called a telephone. This is what they used to look like, kids. These black Bakelite things here. It's not real. It's just, and they had things like this. We would talk on them. And you had to hold it to your, like this. And they had, you should have cords attached to them, but we don't have that anymore because it's not real. And then this thing here is called a dial. You could, and there's letters on there. You could have J, K, H, L. For example, my number in Milwaukee was Uptown U, P, 1, 6, yeah, 9. See, you know, every call had to be planned in advance. 9. Let's see if we're home. No, it's not working anyhow. It's a prop. Anyhow, but that's what phones used to be. Those who've never seen one before, that's what that is. Cool, huh? Did you ever see an actual phone before?
Yeah, a couple times.
It's called a telephone. A telephone, we called them. We had, if we want to make a private call, we would drag it into the bathroom and lock the door. We had one phone, and you could drag it into the bathroom. But then no one else could get in the bathroom or on the phone, but that's the price you paid. Sometimes we had party lines.
Call when you're in the bathroom? Huh? You'd make calls when you're in the bathroom?
If you want to talk to someone privately, where are you going to go?
Bedroom.
There was no lock on the bedroom. The only place that had a lock on the door was the bathroom. And a toilet as well. That's just going to be, you can sit on the toilet and make a personal call.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah. So you, this is the humor class right here, no? They're having a great time. So are you finding this a humorous experience?
Yes, it's very funny.
I won't put it on a scale or anything because I don't want to, you know, a scale from 1 to 1 maybe, but.
1 through 10, you guys will get an 8.5.
8.5! What kind of, who do you listen to as far as comedy goes?
Everybody. If it's funny, I'll pay attention to it, yes. Yeah. I will, yeah.
You got a real favorite, though? Somebody that really rips you up every time?
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. Okay, let's go. And your name is?
Jakaris.
Sophia.
Sophia, and you're?
I'm Alex.
Yeah, and you're?
Brian.
Brian.
Brody.
Brody and?
Tiana.
And Tiana. And
Wally.
And?
Larry.
The humor class from Edgewood, ladies and gentlemen. Making humor for the world. Humorous. Making the world humorous. Okay. Is there a final, like, in humor? Do you have a humor final? You got, huh? A final? Is there a final? A midterms in humor?
I think there will be now. Yes. Yeah.
What is your background in humor that you can teach this? Just these suspenders are pretty much all you got?
That's pretty much it, yeah. I've been listening for the show for a long time, yeah, so that's good material.
It's really not much of a background in. I mean, are you qualified as a humorist? Or?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I guess with that humorous response, that's true.
Larry's a funny guy.
Do you have a dog? Oh, okay. Olivia Merrill from Durand, Illinois. Hi, dear. I am a fourth grade student and a poultry farmer. You have poultry?
Yeah, we have peacocks, chickens, ducks, and we have geese.
You got all those. What do you do with the peacocks?
We have them in our shed right now because they can't be in the winter. Otherwise, they can get frostbite and they can go away. Yeah. And so they make a weird sound. They don't sound anything like a chicken. They just make a... They kind of make that noise.
Can you do that again? I might have heard that. I think I've heard that in my neighborhood, or in the attic, possibly. Could that possibly? Could you have peacocks in your attic?
No.
We live near the zoo. That might have been... Do that once again.
I don't really know.
No, but why? You raise peacocks, and then what do? You sell peacock eggs or something, or what's it?
No, they haven't laid any eggs yet. No. They have to be a little bit older, too, yeah, right at this moment.
You sell the feathers?
Mm-mm. I just make jewelry out of them.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
So the peacocks aren't they're not the cash cow of the poultry business, right? I mean, you can't. They're just because you like peacocks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what's your big money maker there? The chickens?
Mm-mm. We don't really sell them. We just, if the chickens are mean, we'll butcher them and just have some chicken.
You just eat the mean chickens?
Yes, pretty much. Or we'll give them to my grandma or something.
So you, if a chicken is mean, it gets eaten by your grandmother?
No, it's just that.
It's like Red Riding Hood or something.
Not all the time.
You take the chicken in a basket to your grandmother's house?
No.
Okay, I'm making up a little more story here than there is. It's, but what the chickens lay eggs, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that you sell the eggs?
No, we put them in an egg carton and then use them to make pie. Well, cakes and eggs and everything, and sometimes we hatch them out. So.
Yeah. Okay, so then the ducks must be your big money maker. Do you sell duck eggs, or do you?
No.
Baby ducks
don't taste good. And then I guess we would give them sometimes to baby ducks, or we'll just raise them or give them away or something on Craigslist.
So far, I don't see any money coming out. I mean, this is just for your own. I mean, because you like poultry.
It's very fun to raise them, and they are really fun, and they. They're really cute, too,
yeah.
Like the little ducks.
Are ducks the cutest of the bunch?
I think so.
The ducklings or the grown-up ducks?
Ducks and the ducklings are all cute.
Because you hear about the ugly duckling, but not for you. Not true. They're cute even when they're ducklings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're the most cute when they're ducklings. Yeah, everybody says, like, puppies are the cutest when they're puppies, yeah, and everything. So.
Yeah. Is this like all? Did you start collecting these animals? Is it kind of your thing, or is it?
It's my whole family's thing. Yeah. our uncles and have them, and we just have poultry. Our family does.
Yeah. And your poultry, your family's always had poultry.
Mm-hmm.
And poultry's always had your family, I guess. And your favorite of them, is it the ducklings?
Yeah. Yes, they are.
It's very nice to meet you. And this is all in Durand, Illinois?
Mm-hmm. Durand, Illinois.
And you have a farm? Is it on a farm?
It's not really a huge farm. It's just like a little coop and everything.
Five-acre plot?
Yes.
Yeah. Very nice. And then what do you do when you're not poultry farming?
We play with our dog. We have to take her out, go to school, and do all the rest.
School, yeah, yeah. I knew there was a catch somewhere. Very nice to meet you, Olivia.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you, too.
Thank you. That's Olivia Merrill, fourth grader and a poultry student. What do we got for Olivia? Take back there.
We have a way that she can learn and have fun at the same time with Flashmaster, which is a handheld computer that makes math flashcards obsolete.
Anything good?
That's kind of boring, right? That's boring. How about a Bayfield Apple Dumpling Gang t-shirt from Big Top Chautauqua? No? Okay. I have a...
I can't give her one.
Find your perfect soulmate or business partner.
I have
nine hallmarks of highly incompetent losers.
Yeah. Well, let's give her a game or something.
Yeah, we could give her What Do You Know the Party Game.
Yeah.
Which includes a Michael Feldman bobblehead, which is pretty great.
Yeah, you'll want that. Thank you, dear. Very nice to meet you. Nice to meet you all. The Merrills. And especially Olivia. Okay. Well, we got people here. Yeah, this is you, isn't it? What is Santa bringing me? I don't know what he's bringing you, but yeah, come on up here. Tell us about coming because you've seen. Have you seen the Real Housewives there?
I don't in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see him at the grocery store. No, but
any sightings at all on the road or?
I saw him at a restaurant once.
Okay, now this is what I'm trying to get at you. This is Christine, right?
Yep.
And which one did you see? Nene? Did you see Nene?
Oh, no, she scares me. No, I wouldn't go near Nene. It was the one that she's not on there anymore with the big blonde hair, the wig.
Oh, her.
Yeah, Kim.
God, Kim. Kim. You know, Kim with the hair and the whatever.
Yeah. She's very pretty. She was very nice. People came up and took pictures with her and such. And
did you go up there and say?
Yeah, no.
You're not a big Kim fan? Or?
Oh, yeah. I don't know her personally. I'm sure she's very nice.
Yeah, who knows her personally? Everyone go on, you know.
Yeah.
Did you happen to notice what she ordered?
You know, she ordered chicken.
Like fried chicken or?
I don't know. It came with a little thing.
Thing?
Broccoli.
Chicken with broccoli? Was she alone or was she with someone?
She was with another lady that seemed to be like an assistant of some sort.
Oh, her assistant was there. Mm-hmm. Helping her get through the chicken and the broccoli.
Broccoli. Or, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Did you get any sense of her as a human being?
No.
I'm just asking for, you know, my wife and daughters watch this
kind of stuff. She's very nice. I thought it was very nice. There were people that wanted to take their picture with her, and she was, again, very kind to do that, which I think if it were me, I would have said go away.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Christine.
No problem.
It was a pleasure talking. The closest I've been to one of the Real Housewives. Christine, seeing in a restaurant there. What restaurant was it?
Bacchanalia.
What is that?
A restaurant.
No, but I mean, what's is there a theme?
A beautiful, very nice Italian restaurant.
A little upscale?
Yeah, very, very nice.
Yeah. Who are you with?
A business partner.
Okay, sure. We have Hillary Kump here is a crane intern at the International Crane Foundation. That's pretty cool. Here's one that you don't have now. You might want to get a crane. I don't know if you can actually have cranes or not, but I know you don't have a crane. You got everything, but I want to see Hillary. Excuse me, pardon me. I'm going to make you do that little thing you do again. He's a nice guy. I like him. Hillary? Can I get you to stand up here, Hillary? Come over this way. You can step on them. That's all right with me there. You're a crane intern.
Yes.
That must be a tough internship to get.
Not really.
What do you have to do to get to be a crane intern?
Well, I'm a development intern, so I work in the office. Oh. And then there's other people who work with the cranes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want to work your way towards the cranes, actually, to working with the crane?
No, I don't think so.
More of an office person than a crane person?
Yeah, I raise the money so that the cranes can live.
Well, that's a great thing. That's a very important thing for cranes, to have money to live on. But don't you want to be that guy who does the dance with them? Isn't there a guy who dresses up with wings and tries to get them to mate by dancing badly?
Yeah, they dress in costumes and act like the mother. Yeah. Yeah, when they're breeding them.
How would that encourage you to breed if someone is dancing like your mother?
Well, this is after they've been breeded and they try to feed them.
Oh, this is the... Okay. So the dancing like your mother does not encourage them to mate.
There's no dancing with the mating. They can do it themselves.
Well, that's the last time I go out to Baraboo. That's all I can say.
Yeah, they make a lot of noise.
Yeah. Okay, so that when... But there is dancing. There's a guy who dresses up with wings and stuff.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you're in the office, but you should poke your head out the window so that you'd be amazed what goes on.
Yeah, you would.
Hillary, yeah. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Brain Foundation, Baraboo, support it. Give your money to Hillary. She'll make sure it gets to the right crane. It's really quite an amazing thing. Have you ever been out there, Crane Foundation? Fabulous. Fabulous. Oops, see, I stepped on you because you didn't do the thing that you did. Okay, we're going to play, thank you for your indulgence there. And we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz. You've heard about it. You've read about it. No, you haven't. And no, you haven't. But still, we're going to do it anyhow because I can see that you really want to do this, don't you? You're a little reluctant, I've noticed. Some reluctance. Come here. But I sense it. I sense it. And you read the four disclaimers. You did a great job because you're an actor, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, sir.
You know, you say act. I see you. I say that's an actor. I just knew you were an actor.
Yes.
Of course, you're wearing an acting shirt.
Yes, this is for the theater in my hometown, Abrams Spotlight Productions. We're actually doing Sound of Music the first two weekends in December. So if anybody's going to be around the Abrams area, you can get tickets on our website, abramsspotlightproductions.com.
There you go.
When you say the Abrams area,
Abrams is 30 minutes north of Green Bay.
Can't miss it. Straight north, and you're in Abrams before you know it. And your name is?
David.
David, give me one good reason.
Because I've been listening to the show for over 10 years, and I brought my parents, who introduced me to it, to come and see it today.
Okay. All right, come on up here then, David. Come on, that's David. All right, come on. Thank you. He's out there entertaining you. Come on, Sound of Music. So who are you playing in the Sound of Music?
I'm playing Franz the Butler in the Sound of Music.
Franz the Butler, does he have any singing?
He does not have any singing, yeah. But I'm also currently in rehearsals for High Ground, which is in Okano, which is just a little bit further north than Abrams.
Is that a better role?
It's a bigger role.
Bigger role? Who do you hope to play in Higher Ground?
I play Willie. He's kind of the... local town idiot. The nuns in the play, because it takes place in a covenant, where do nuns live?
Covenant?
I don't think
those
that's
are witches, right. I think, aren't they?
Yeah.
Convent.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
And they let him help out at the convent sort of as a charity to the town to keep him from getting in trouble.
Yeah, okay. But he's the town idiot, I think you said.
Yeah, he's not.
We don't have those anymore, do we?
Not really, no.
Just in the legislature, I guess. You know. Yeah. But anyhow, so here's the thing then. Can you give us a couple? Give us a line or something from that you do as the butler in Sound of Music.
Oh, in the Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir. She doesn't always hear, sir.
Very good. Is that referring to Maria?
Yeah, no, that's actually referring to Frau Schmidt, the housekeeper.
Ah, Frau Schmidt.
She doesn't come to a whistle.
Ah, and there's that dynamic between Frau Schmidt and you. Who are you, the butler? Which butler?
Franz.
Franz, the butler. That dynamic that goes on.
Yes.
Underpins the whole thing, really.
A little bit.
So it's very important. Well, that's very good. And then the other one called...
High Ground.
Yeah.
It was originally presented in England as Bonaventure, and that was changed to High Ground when it came to America.
Because we don't usually say that kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You've been acting a lot most of your life, or?
Well, I was in the Navy for a while, but since I've been out of the Navy, I've been trying to find acting wherever I can.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool. And then, what do you do when you're not acting to make a living?
I'm a disabled veteran. Mm-hmm. I was hurt when I was in the Navy, so I live off of VA disability and do odd jobs if I can find them.
Yeah. Well, cool. David, nice to have you here. Good luck to you in your acting career. Sounds like you're on the way here.
Yeah.
You got to get out of some of these nun roles, though.
Yeah.
Must be other roles you can play, too. With nuns and with nuns. David, someone out there plays along with you, and there's how do they do that then, Bitsy?
People who want to play along, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
I do? Okay, I got one here, I guess. Yeah. Finally, a use has been found for junk DNA. What is it? Now, they found not so much use for it, but the fact that it actually has some bearing on something in human beings, all this so-called junk DNA. Don't throw it out. Because it actually is responsible for something in human beings, this junk, so-called junk DNA. If you know what that is, it's been in the news a lot lately. You probably heard of this. What is the use, the actual use for junk DNA? That junk in your trunk, as we call it. It's useful. Don't throw it out. We got Steve on the line from Columbus. Steve, weren't you just on the line from Columbus?
Yeah, last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I thought I'd hear from you. How are you?
Yeah.
Anything happened?
I'm doing good, Michael.
Anything over the week to report?
Not
week?
So much.
Yeah.
Weather's been good.
Yeah.
Crime rate's down.
Uh-huh.
It's all pretty good.
Okay. You know about this junk DNA, what it's good for?
Not a clue.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Steve. Talk to you next week.
Sure enough.
All right. Bye.
You bet.
Bye. A little continuity. Steve calls from Columbus and Marietta, Ohio is nice too. And John calls. Hey, John.
Yes. Hello.
What up?
Oh, well, first cold weather. We're trying to survive it. It does get cold in southern Ohio.
Yeah, why don't you go indoors? Go inside there, John. It'll be much better on.
Well, I am inside right now.
Have you got your...
They might even have some snow next week, but we're not sure about that.
Okay, John, the use or the application or what junk DNA is actually for?
Further research.
Further research. Thanks, John. Talk to you again soon. Okay, Ted's on the line from Lansing, Kansas. Ted, you know this one, don't you? Ted?
Yeah, I wish I did. Now I heard about it. gosh. Oh.
All right.
Makes your butt bigger. I don't know.
Okay, thanks. Noreen, you're in Sag Harbor.
Hello, how are you?
Hi. How are things?
Things are great. It's
good.
A beautiful day. I'm heading home to make gingerbread.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Noreen, did you hear about the junk DNA, what it actually is used for? Or?
Well, I haven't, but I thought maybe they might use it in vaccinations with all the other junk they put in them.
No, sorry, though. Get to that gingerbread, though.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot.
You bet. Bye-bye. Bye. Eddie knows, don't you, Eddie?
I think it's maybe grown body parts in a lab.
Body parts? No,
yeah,
no, Eddie, get that out of your head, because it's not going to happen. Okay, bye. Lamb is on the Lamb here from Oklahoma City. Hey, Lamb.
Hey, Lamb. Hi, this is Lamb. How you doing?
Hey, Lamb. How are you?
I'm just great today. I can't believe I finally got through after 20 years of calling.
Did you hear about that burrito they found in town?
No, I did not hear about the burrito.
The bomb squad found a burrito. They seized a burrito, and they... You didn't read about that? It was in Oklahoma City.
Oh, our news here is tightly controlled.
Junk DNA actually has a purpose in the human body. Do you know what it is?
I think it has to do with the aging process.
I'm sorry, Lamb. It's not it. Thanks, though.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Next time, you too. Bye. Tim's on the line from Cleveland. You know, Cleveland, Tennessee. Tim.
You bet. We know everything.
Yeah.
I think it actually has something to do with working with common diseases.
Sorry, Tim. Not everything, maybe.
Huge. I thought it had something to do with linking with valuable DNA, and it helped those fight off the common diseases.
No, I'm sorry. No.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, fine. Is Sturgeon, Sturgeon Bay. Mary, you know? Don't you, Mary? Mary?
Something to do with cancer.
No, but thanks. Janine in Antioch, Illinois.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, I think it's got something to do with skin.
What about skin?
Well, I think it just helps to make the skin.
You mean like the skin on your face?
Like the skin on your face.
Yes, all right. We'll accept that. It's responsible for your face. That's all I know. Oops. Okay, I'm a little excited. Okay. Janine, isn't it?
Yes.
And Antioch, how are you? Pretty good?
I'm real good.
Oh, good.
I saw you last weekend in Monona Terrace, so talking to you.
It's a small world.
Isn't it, though?
Janine, this is David. We're down here to almost no time at all, but we're going to give you a one-fer here. You get one question right here, then you're going to win some stuff. Okay, Janine,
sounds
David?
Good.
Okay, we're just going to get you right on here, and this is the What Do You Know one-fer.
Yes.
And we have various categories, don't we?
We do. They are
Bitsy?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Janine, I'll let you pick the category. What would you like?
Oh, my gosh.
Pressure.
New stuff.
Pressure.
Stuff in the news. Is that one of them?
What?
Current events, yeah.
Current events, yes.
You don't want that.
I don't. Okay.
No.
People.
People?
Yeah.
Okay. Dave, you good with that? All right. The percentage of people who have tipped a flight attendant. I didn't even know this was possible.
Me neither.
Did you know, ever hear about this?
You're supposed to tip flight attendants?
I know. I never. It's amazing.
See.
Is it 1%, 3%, or the surprising 27%? What?
You know, surprising 27%.
That's right. Yeah. That's it. Holy cow. I don't believe it. Congratulations, David, Janine. What have they won?
David, you'll be heading up to Northern Wisconsin for a tour of the Bayfield Maritime Museum, led by the director himself, and as a souvenir of your visit, the book Lighthouses of the Apostle Islands. And then on to the Bard wearing a green Nebraska Shakespeare Festival bracelet. Write news of your quiz victory on a Kissel postcard from Hartford's Wisconsin Automotive Museum, using a John Huber Brewing Company pen from the Minhas Brewery, and rhapsodize on a theme of Paganini, pray to St. John Chrysostom, or simply wallow in pre-Soviet romanticism on the CD What Do You Know About Rachmaninoff, with C sharp minor notes by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Janine, you've won a profusion of Feldman memorabilia, including archival Michael Feldman posse stickers, postcards from the earlier years, a half dozen What Do You Know temporary tattoos, and a genuine What Do You Know wooden nickel. Then combat feel-good holiday music listening to a collection of sounds and Something Like the Plague by We Are the Willows' Peter Miller from Ambledown Records. Haul your stuff around in an Alabama tote bag from the Huntsville-Madison County Convention and Visitors Bureau, and stave off cold weather blues playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including contestants, audience, and inspirational Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both.
Thank you.
Thanks, David. Back your seat. Janine, hang on for a second. We'll make sure we get that to you. Thanks for playing.
Planning your next Madison outing? Bring the whole gang to Monona Terrace for a live broadcast of What Do You Know. Click over to notmuch.com for special group pricing information and get your tickets today. And you can catch us right here at the beautiful Monona Terrace. Our next show is December 7th with musician Robbie Fulks. Tickets and scheduling information are available, as always, at notmuch.com.
Ooh, Robbie Fulks, you want to come to that one? Thank you all for coming. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you real soon.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Culver.
Overreact. Overreact. That's what audiences do. They don't underreact.
PRI, Public Radio International.